opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 25th of August, 2022. That means it's a Culture Thursday, and you are on the clock with Erin. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. A good morning. You heard that song, Sugar Apple Ganep, Juju Plum. That means we talk in agriculture today for our Culture Thursday. And I'm going to have two guests joining me in studio in a moment. Joining me are Mr. Nicholas Fox and Mr. Valin Bodie, two local soil scientists. And today we're going to be talking dirty. I mean, we're going to be talking about dirt. I mean, we're going to be talking about soil. Yeah, that's what it is. We're going to be talking about soil and soil science and extracting value from and preserving value in the land. But just before we get there, I'm going to say that was Iris Store, Sugar Apple Ganep. Y'all tell me, who do you love? I tell you, I love nobody. I from Acklands. I's a miserable woman. And I love that song. I like Sugar Apple and Ganep. And it's almost hog plum time. So if you got a hog plum tree or you know where a hog plum tree is, go check on your love. See if there are any early hogs. And let's get back into the practice of hog plums ripen on the tree. Okay, I just got a little housekeeping. Some things I want to touch on before we get into our segment. And I'm sort of glad my guests are not in studio quite yet. I don't want to mix this politics, right, with what it is that they're doing. Sometimes we mix the things. And I want to give them a space sort of free from this political critique. The first thing I want to mention, a listener shared with me yesterday that they happened upon a situation and they think it needs some attention. They were made aware of a business or a charity that was doing a uniform distribution program, and they were selling uniforms at a significantly reduced price. And the person indicated that they were concerned that the Department of Inland Revenue, essentially, or the relevant government agencies were going to shut down this activity because it was not in compliance with all of the regulations and rules. And I want to say at this time, right, and we're still coming out of COVID, the pandemic. You can see in the front of the Tribune today, there's a story, family still dealing with Dorian. That is very, very real, that is very, very real. And so we want to encourage those who have the means to engage in this type of community support, right, by offering reduced prices when possible. Now, if something like this is not in compliance with the laws and policies, I'm hoping by this point in time, the Department of Inland Revenue has put together a team, right? A small team that if you're called to an event or a site because there's a concern that they're not in compliance, before you shut down or issue a cease and desist order or shut the activity down, that you bring in a team to determine as quickly as possible if they're in compliance, where they're not in compliance, what parts of the program can continue, and what the organizers need to do to be in compliance, right? This is not a punitive exercise. We're not trying to criminalize people. We're trying to bring people into compliance. And this is important because I've said this often, successive governments, and I think the political class and the merchant class included, can be rightly assumed as dragging Bahamians into a future that they cannot understand and are not prepared for. And in some instances, they can't tolerate it. That's when you hear older people saying things like, child, this y'all world, I don't know, you know, this ain't my world no more. Y'all got to do what you got to do. That's a person who cannot tolerate the future that you have dragged them into. It's going to be one of the biggest issues that any politician, any community leader, and any government, and any leader is going to have to deal with. It's a given, right? Yesterday I had a number of questions that we didn't get to because the conversation was full, and I also really wanted to hear what callers and audience members had to say. But the question of can the current leader of the FNM, does he have the ability or the capacity to balance a number of planks of governance, right? And we could see in the question of what's the difference between the PLP and the FNM, we could say that the FNM appears to be economy focused, right? They appear to be focused on the economy and may even see the economy as the biggest plank of governance. And the question is, can Michael Pintard, right, create an environment where Bahamians can quickly or easily understand the future that they are building and the present that they have been dragged into, right? That's an extremely important ability or thing for a leader to be able to do. Can he or she create a vision and cause members of the public to imagine that vision with them? Right? That's going to be necessary because another plank that leaders across the scope of leadership have to assess is, can they cause or compel Bahamians and people resident in the Bahamas to discipline themselves? Can they create an environment where Bahamians and people living in and moving through the country, can they create an environment where they see the benefits, right, of this behavior, the benefits of governing yourself to make collective governance easier and life easier and more comfortable for everybody around us, right? So all of these activities where people are trying to do a thing, they waking on a hustle, they got a second or third move, trying to stack up this paper so they could pay school fees. The key is to not shut people down and be punitive. The key is to identify these areas where you see people attempting to enter the economy and create mechanisms to support that. That's what the public need from governance, from the government and governing agencies. The government's job is similar to the job of the advocate. Not to tell people what to do. Not even necessarily to show people what to do, but to create an environment where people can A, tend to their most basic needs with no assistance from the state. B, an environment where people can make healthier and safe choices and decisions for themselves and for their families. And an environment in which people can plan for the future. These things are extremely important. I mean, we're still waiting on our guests, but there's a number of things that I want to touch on and we could talk about until they get here. They're just running a little bit late. I got a text here that says, great show as usual, Ms. Green. How could we get agriculture popular with the young kids? Because millions of dollars in agriculture, but it's known to be a Haitian job. Well, that's about shifting culture, right? That's about shifting culture. It sort of ties into another story I have right here. It's called Everyone Want to Live on Taxi Money, right? And it's about shifting our perspective on what ownership means, right? What ownership means, understanding the value in land and land ownership, and understanding the multitude of ways to extract value from the land, right? We all know that land is value. Money talks, and you can't walk unless you're walking on land. In fact, the old people, they used to tell you, don't never sell your land. That's what they used to say, don't never sell it. If you get to dig a hole in the ground and eat Vienna sausage for a year, don't sell your land. Figure out how to manage that land ownership. Because the only thing of value is land, right? Anyway, everybody want to live on tax money. I mean, taxi money. So we're going to get back to the how do we get young people excited about agriculture? How do we get them to see not the potential, but what exists in that space? So the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union is in the news again. I am shocked, A, that they're in the news again, and B, I'm shocked by what they're saying. I'm going to read from the article, Taxi Union Chief Threatens Arbitrary 30% Fare Increase. This is a Nassau Tribune article. There's also another story on Our News. It's a video story. There we go, producer. It's time to go to a break. We're going to go to a break. I'm going to go downstairs, check on my guests. I think they have arrived. And when we get back from the break, we're going to engage the question of how do we extract value from the land, but more importantly, how do we preserve value in the land? Stay tuned to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity.
Because it's time for the third installment of Fish Fry Fridays, the hottest once-a-month after-work party, brought to you by Fassage, the Bahamas' number one party band, Star 106, and Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Fish Fry Fridays has quickly become the talk of the town, and because of such a super large turnout the last time, the venue has been expanded to enhance your enjoyment experience.
I go drink water and mind my business.
It's a happy hour like no other. So on Friday, August 26th, after work, kick off your shoes and head over to the 12 Volt Bar at the beautiful Margaritaville Resort, downtown Nassau, and enjoy the Fish Fry Friday experience with the dynamic, energetic live sound of Visage and DJ AI. Admission is $25 and includes one free complimentary drink, or enjoy the tantalizing Vacation Cafe Buffet with full access to the event for only $55 per person. Tune in to Star 106 for more details.
Fish Fry Fridays.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1990. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. You're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I went down by the river to fetch me a bucket of water. I went down by the river to fetch me a bucket of water. There I met a young maiden. On her head she was heavy laden. I asked her what was she selling. The young lady, she started spending. Pumpkin, bananas, peas and corn, breadfruit, lime, lemon, orange, cassavas, potato, onions, carrots. That's not good for making tea. Whee!
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. This is a culture Thursday, and though we talk in soil and soil science, I gotta find all the music I could find about the land and things that we extract from the land and things we think we have that we think have value in the land. Now let me tell y'all something. I was actually just praying a tiny little bit that y'all would have been later so I could delve a little bit more into this politics, right? But here's why, guys. Here's why. I want to talk about the politics, right? And I think people's minds are focused on that. But I don't think people understand the importance of this conversation that we're going to have right now. This is that sort of thing when you want to stay up, watch, like when I was little, I wanted to stay up late to watch the Michael Jackson concert. I have to stay up. And then mommy's like, no, you got to go to bed because you have to go to sports day the next day, and getting that rest is important. As a 10-year-old, you have no idea how important getting that rest. Yeah, how important that rest is, right? And so I hope my audience, I want you guys to hang in here with us. I want to tell you how important talking dirty is for us right now in the 21st century. Oh, wow. Big things are going on. So I have in studio with me today Mr. Nicholas Fox and Mr. Valin Bodie. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
All right. Hello, my name's Nicholas Fox. Most people call me the Compost King. Been composting for 8 years now. I have a company that I own, co-own with Jeremy Mishevich. It's called Soul and Soil. We operate around this island, collecting organic waste and turning it to rich, fertile compost that we use to grow organic food for the people.
Absolutely.
And I'm Valin Bodie. A lot of people know me from soccer around the island. I played soccer on the national team from when I was 16. So probably what people know me as, but I'm the soil guru, now the soil guru. I own a soil company in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Where we produce organic clean mediums for people to grow anything from food to cannabis.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Can you grow an economy? Tell me you could grow an economy, and I know your
economy starts from the ground up, right?
Bing.
Anyway, that's all it is, on the ground.
There you go. I thought I was going to catch him with that one, but I could not. You are correct, sir. Okay. So, what is soil? Tell people what soil is. Because I had to tell my mommy, I'm not playing in the dirt.
Right.
This is science.
It ain't dirt.
Dirt is dead.
Soil is alive. That's the difference.
Okay. So
that's literally the difference. There's no other way you can put it. I can sit here and nerd out about what it is.
Yeah.
But that's really what it is. Soil, it delivers, it's that train, if you will, to deliver the nutrients from the earth to the plants, which would, whether it be crops, flowering plants, whatever it is, all of them are important to survive.
And all right.
You then consume that plant, whether it be, like I said, a vegetable, fruit, flower, whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so we know soil is important for growing things, it's a medium to feed the plants. Right. Does soil have any other function? I know one. I mean, from a little child, I had a whole thesis on it. Mud cakes are therapeutic for children. And
that's pretty cool.
Right, yeah. But does soil have any other function? Because we'd say, oh, so the soil is for humans, right? We believe that everything on the planet is for us.
No. We only a speck and we only a penny in the bucket.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really and truly. I mean, there is soil, it's really for, it also sequesters, pulls out everything out of the air. So helps fill the air. Filters water. It holds the being of the earth in soil.
Yeah.
Whether you think about, like, literally, like, I can sit here, like I said, and nerd out to you about the many things that soil hold on one topic.
Yeah.
Being just microbial, I can nerd out to you on the nutrients and everything that's there. And then I could go into the chemistry side of things with the gases and all of that stuff. So it's literally the being of the earth. For everything came from soil. In the Bible, it says dirt.
Yeah, from dust to dust, but no, it's soil they mean.
That's where you came from.
Yeah.
We are humans, we are of the earth.
Dust to dust and ashes to ashes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really, it is what we need to be focusing on and understanding. And that's really the biggest thing, it's just knowledge. People just don't know. It's not that you don't know how to grow anything.
All right.
I mean, it's not that you can't, you just don't know how to. And that's why I'm here, to teach people how to do that.
All right. So I was of the belief, or, you know, people are of the belief that you should let your children eat a little dirt. Like, I mean, don't be upset if they go outside and fall in some some dirt.
They even show, like, when you put your hands in it, the microbes, they say it just helps with your whole mood, your whole...
picks you up.
Right. Yeah. And then there is the sort of therapeutic practice of grounding, which is going into the soil barefoot, putting your foot as close to the soil.
As close as you can get.
To the earth, yeah.
And like I said, that's where you came from, so why would that not ground you?
Absolutely. Dear children, next time your parents get a switch, right?
Right.
Tell them, listen, I could earth than that, mommy, okay? Let me just stand here and ground myself and learn how to govern myself. I could put myself in a timeout, mommy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a, look here, dear children, try that, okay? Oh, man. Soil, this is what I'm saying. Soil is super exciting, right? Let me tell you how what fascinates me. Where I live is, I found out, is coppice area, right? So a lot of little rocks and pigeon forest. The two sort of go together. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lot of soil. So there's a lot of stuff I can't grow where I live, right? Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, there are things that are just like, no, this is perfect.
Yeah, they're native.
Like,
they're native.
What we call the broadleaf thyme, what people know commonly as Spanish thyme, and oregano, right? And turtle beans, black beans. Mm-hmm. They somehow love the soil, but they can't grow a tomato.
And you say it's rocky?
Yeah.
Calcium, magnesium.
That's what I need to put in it?
That's why they
like it. Oh, it's those things.
Those rocks
are
made out of limestone.
Yeah.
So limestone is calcium carbonate. Calcium carbonate is calcium, rich in calcium and magnesium.
Okay, so what's the relationship between limestone and soil? Can I alchemist soil out of limestone, or could I turn...
It's tough. Yeah. It's going to be real tough. Why? Is because that, like, same thing I just said, that calcium magnesium is going to lock up a lot of nutrients. It's going to make the soil, what you call in the soil world, it's going to be imbalance. Not imbalance, but imbalance. So it's not in the right, you know, range. Realm. If right, the right range is where it needs to be. So an excess of some, too much of something ain't good for you.
Yeah,
really what's going on. There's a lot of calcium, magnesium. It locks you out of a lot of other things. The pH will be, I mean, if I could put a number on it, it's probably pH of anything here in the Bahamas is going to be closer to 8.5 because of that high calcium carbonate content.
Okay, and so in the soil, I'm thinking about agriculture, and I'm thinking about, and we know we could grow things here, subsistence farming, traditional, hundreds of years, people have been doing that. But do we have the soil, the types of soil, or sufficient, enough soil for commercial agricultural projects?
But you can make it.
Yeah.
You can develop it. That's where his compost comes in.
Okay.
You can build soil. So when you look at it, every day we have people coming in, we have imports coming in, and it looks like to me, it looks like a deconstructed forest. All of that can be turned right back into soil, put on our ground, and we could grow food. We don't have to grow it to export it. We just need to be
self-sustained.
Self-sustained, right. Mm-hmm. And feed ourselves.
Okay, but you, when you say ourselves, don't forget the 7 million cousins I invite to the Bahamas every year.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Those as well. Absolutely.
So we could cover us and the
absolutely.
Tourists.
Absolutely. There's no reason as to why resorts don't produce their own food. Vertical integration in any business is very important. That you can vertically integrate, the more money you'll make, the more money you save.
Right.
I make soil. So I live in Oklahoma. I mean, the soil out there is trash. I mean, what's not clay is ridden with heavy metals because of all the oil drilling.
Yeah, and I thought it's dusty, right?
Exactly. That's where the dust bowl happened. Yeah. So where my soil company comes in and the vitality of my soil company is that I have these raw ingredients that I then basically blend in a big cake mixer is what it looks like.
Yeah.
I have 21 raw ingredients. So the base of it is peat moss, which is just peat from a peat bog.
Yeah.
Pumice stone, which is, you know, the same stone that you use in a pedicure.
Yeah.
But it's broken up into small pebbles, almost, I would say, the size of pea rock, or probably smaller than pea rock.
Okay.
Earthworm castings, compost, which he produces. That's what I'll be producing my soil here with.
Okay.
Is his compost. And then you've got... earthworm castings, I said, and then you've got blood meal, bone meal, fish bone meal, bat guano, gypsum, pelletite shell.
Can I replace bat guano with raccoon guano? I don't want to compete directly with you.
The best thing, honestly, guano-wise or manure-wise is rabbit. Rabbit manure is probably the best manure that you can find. Alpaca is, but we don't have any alpacas here.
Okay, so I was about to say
there may be some here that I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say alpaca.
We do have our bats, though.
Right. Yeah.
Because I want to say, first of all, to the animal advocates, listen, we're having this conversation respectfully.
Yes. No. I mean, my degree is in sustainability, so nothing I do is going to harm the environment. Absolutely nothing.
Because I'm like, okay, we bring in 10 million guests a year. Rabbit guano is the best guano. Should we be looking at producing... rabbits.
Yeah.
With the guano for composting and for soil building.
Absolutely.
And then rabbit as another source of protein for your hotels and your cruise ships, right?
There's a farm in Eleuthera, Food Post Farms, and they farm rabbits. They farm rabbits and they use their guano in their compost. And rich.
Yep. Rabbit manure is literally, that's what it is. Yeah, alpaca. Yeah, that and alpaca guano are the two. But I mean, I'm researching now. Like when I go back, I'm taking conch shells with me. I'm going to pulverize it and then get a nutrient analysis on it so that I can figure out the nutrient value in it.
You write me a check, I could tell you it's very, very valuable.
Yeah, no, I know. It's molecular wise, I know it's very similar to oyster shell. You know, it has chitin in it and it's very, very good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I could go down that rabbit hole all day.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's okay. We're going to go down to Nicholstown, Andrus, and go look at that dock that they made out of conch shell. Mm-hmm. It's natural lime properties. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk to the people about how that's a traditional practice, right?
Yep.
Before industry, cement and concrete, people
Absolutely.
Were doing these things.
Yep.
I'm building yep. land. And this is why, to my audience, this conversation is fascinating. I haven't even asked them outside of, okay, so soil scientists, which one of you is this, right?
It's
and
him.
And you are on the way to becoming a soil scientist?
Yes, hopefully. I plan to pursue degrees in sustainability and in soil. I'm a compost enthusiast. I've been doing it for 8 years.
Yeah.
And just self-teaching myself.
Okay, so.
And now I teach in it.
Yeah.
Great. I want to become a soil mentor. Scientist. What do I have to study? And for a lot of these subjects, young people don't realize that you may have to begin making these decisions in prep when you're prepping for your BJCs.
Absolutely.
Which subjects should I study in school? And then once I get to university, what direction should I head in?
Sciences, chemistry, biophysics, and geography.
Okay.
That's all you need.
All right. What about OBIA?
I
have a substantive bush medicine practice.
That could help you.
That could help.
Yeah. That could definitely help.
Right.
That could definitely help. But it's just, there's no path. There is no, I guess you could say, you know, like straight, you know, this is the route that you take. I mean, the route that I took was not the conventional route to being a soil scientist.
Yeah.
Graduated from SAC. I was an athlete. I mean, not school wasn't nowhere in my mind.
Yeah.
I went to college, and that's when I really found my love. Well, my love for the environment come from running up and down the Johnson Road barefoot.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where my Grammy is grow any and everything. My grandpa's do the same thing. So that's where my love for the environment came. And I didn't realize it until I got to college and I started taking environmental science classes. And I was like, wait a minute, I like this. Like, mm-hmm. I like this. And I turned out loving it, you know? And like I said, I ignored that love to go and work. I used to work for Apple. So I used to work for Apple Incorporated.
Close.
Right.
Yeah, close.
So I used to work for Apple Incorporated.
Yeah.
And that's where I worked for a while. And I realized, like, hey, I don't want to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being inside ain't for me.
Yeah.
And that's where I then, you know, started to do other things and found my path. So there's no true conventional way. It's just that foundation of knowledge that those sciences, you need that. You know, I wish in high school. I mean, that's what it is. I was a student athlete. I didn't care about school. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I didn't care about school till I got to college when I had to care about it. You know, when you got foundations like the Life of Key Foundation and the government paying for schooling.
And then sometimes it's at college where you see the capacity,
the
scope, and what you could do with this. But I got a caller on the line. They are excited to get into this conversation.
Man.
Good morning, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning to your guest also.
Yes,
morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to you, of course. I'm intrigued. You know, I always dealing with the little plants, the little trees here, but I noticed in the grove area, you know, where there was a mangrove, you have a lot of soil compaction, right? Because the soil is thickened, so it's not prudent to put a young plant in the ground because it doesn't have the perlite on the aeration.
Right.
So I noticed that when the plants take long to take off, it's really as a result of soil compaction, right?
Correct.
And so I wanted you to just elaborate on the significance of the rain compaction and acidity, and I hang up, and these are some impediments to achieving the way the fruits taste, etc.
So don't hang up, but so a big part of it is going to be your pH range. I've seen plants grow in pretty hard compacted areas, but the pH range is what is very important. So your pH of your soil is what allows those nutrients to be transferred to the plant. If you're looking for a sweet spot, if you want to call it, in soil, 6.5 to 7 is your sweet spot.
That's almost 7 is neutral.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's where every nutrient is available. Trace minerals, macronutrients, micronutrients. In your case, in the mangroves, that's the reason why mangroves were there, to break that up, to give them younger plants or anything else to be able to penetrate that land. I'm not an avid believer in perlite. I don't like perlite. It's not renewable. It's very dangerous. I mean,
chemical wise.
Yeah, it's just not safe.
I was noticing what effects does do? Do like, just say you use a farmer and you have animals on the farm and heavy duty equipment. What role do they play in compaction? Because
animals will obviously definitely contribute to compaction. Animals in the sense of cattle or cow. Other than that, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, cattle, obviously, they could get up to 3,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds. That's the same weight of a car.
So basically, when you have a problem with plants, roots is spreading, it's basically because of one of those, because of
pH or compaction. Yeah, that's right, usually that's because the roots, like you just said, the roots
what
are time push.
I get better results with growing pineapples in a pot. Versus, you know, like preparing the ground or putting down.
Because you make their life easy. You put them in a very uncomfortable environment. You'll flourish whatever you do for a living. If I put you in the perfect environment, your career will take off.
But we can know that because tell me if I'm correct. I always look to see if the plant's shooting new shoots to tell if it's really healthy and growing. I always look for new shoots. When I don't see new shoots coming out, then I know something is wrong.
Yeah, you look to the top of the plant or you look to the nodes of the plant. That's where you want to look for
I look to the top. So thank you for thinking about the nodes also, but I just basically look to the top.
Right, but just to the top. And then just remember, take off all the old growth or anything brown. The plant's going to waste nutrients trying to repair that. It's like you're having a cut on your skin.
Yeah, they fool us there, and they got us putting on jacket and tie, but we really need food. Give thanks. Like you said the other day when I run out on the insurrection. Bless
them. Man, don't watch that. Right. Blessings. Blessings. Thank you, 52. I tell you, a lot of people are fascinated, right? They want to know. They're doing these things. Because they're not scientists, but they have a science mind, and they know that observation is the key. So they're already in there, and they want to know. And so I see here that you have an event where people can come out and learn more about soil, proper soil structure, soil nutrients, and their importance, along with regenerative farming practices. It's called Growing with Purpose with the Soil Guru, Saturday, August 20th. That's this Saturday, at 8 a.m., where's it going to be, gentlemen?
Right opposite the farmer's market. Literally, right. That build. There's a blue building directly opposite the farmer's market. The road you take off of Gladstone. You turn off of Gladstone onto that road to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
It's literally directly opposite. You'll see a blue building behind, like, but the gate will be open, obviously. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Perez. My friend Perez owns it, Perez Moss.
Okay,
so we call it Perez Bar,
I'm going to read the directions for the audience. Heading north from Carmichael Road on Gladstone Road, the building number 140, blue building, trim green and red, after Royal Kids, opposite the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. I got you.
It's directly opposite the farmer's
market. The
farmer's market sign, directly opposite.
All right.
Yeah, and then the first 15 people get the cost of $75. Mm-hmm. The first, obviously everyone else will be $100, but it'll be... All you need to know, bring your paper. You need your brain can't hold the knowledge.
Your brain can explode.
Don't try. Yeah.
Remember,
just bring your notepad.
If they're charging you $100, you're probably going to get $300, $400 worth of knowledge, right?
Yeah, 3 hours.
Bring a notebook.
It's a course. It's more of a course than anything.
Right. I can't come because I'm lazy.
That's why.
I don't like the sun. It's okay. People, considering the conversations that we're having in the media, and I know y'all having them in your communities and in your homes, people are trying to figure out, what resources do I have to make my budget work? What resources do I have to be able to feed my family with my limited resources?
And this is the way to go.
Yep. Sometimes it's not about making more money, it's about cutting costs.
Yeah, that's what it is. You can't increase profit unless you cut expenses.
Absolutely.
Simple business.
Absolutely. Wow. I do a small workshop, I mean really small for events, where we teach people how to grow if they are, I'm going to use the word transient, but if you don't own your own home, if you are a renter but your landlord is opposed to you
planting on that land,
building a garden.
Yeah, you got pots, raised beds, all that stuff, and that's the soil.
Right.
It's easy.
We teach people how to grow in a water bottle. We teach people how to grow in the bag you get the soil so that you can move them when you
need to
move.
To go.
Yep.
And then you could deal with climate change and the heat.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, we got a caller on the line, and then I want to ask you about extracting value and career opportunities. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Mr.
Good morning, Sparky. How you do?
You had me on the line for a long time. But anyway, this is the topic we like to talk about. But I don't have that scientific mind with the pH and all them GS and all them things. See, y'all know what y'all talking about.
Uh-huh.
But the average people out here don't know what y'all talking about. See, when y'all say pH and everything, I sound like a school that they ain't completely named yet.
Yeah, I feel you, Sparky.
That's a pH.
And that's why I hear. That's exactly why I hear to teach you these things.
No, but you're charging me before I even get to the place where you say, come on, Sparky.
That's fine.
You're causing me brain problem here on the radio.
Well, boy, anyway, there's plenty of knowledge for you to have to bring your brain. You better bring it.
Okay, let me talk what I got to talk before Mr. Singham said me I got 30 seconds. You know.
Go on.
I found my calling. You know how these preachers call it. They found their calling by preaching my calling too. But I found my calling late because, like one of the gentlemen said, he went to SAC when he wasn't really into school. He was into sports and athletics and everything.
Yes.
I went to B Government High too. But I found out that I really wasn't into when I passed the GCE or not. I didn't like history. I didn't like geometry. I didn't like bio. But when it comes to any other thing, I was more into volleyball, soccer, softball, basketball. I was into athletics, too. I came out of school.
I came out of school and went into dental technology. Sparky, I got more callers on the line, and I got 1,000 questions. And I had to put my own politics on the side for this conversation this morning. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. 2, 3, 4. Okay, you're gone. Sorry about that, caller. Sorry we missed you. Okay, I got a text here. How can we grow asparagus, sweet corn, and lemon trees and onions? Well, we know we could grow onions here, but here we are. Sorry, text. I didn't mean to call you, buddy. We are the onion capital of the Bahamas.
Onion. For those other things, like corn is high nitrogen, so you need to be supplementing because there won't be a lot of nitrogen in the soil if you're growing, obviously, straight into the ground.
Right.
Asparagus, you could. It leads a little bit more phosphorus. Because it flowers after it's already shooting.
Right.
So you need a little bit more phosphorus. So you may need to supplement a little bit. I mean, there's some of things that you can use here, you know, that people have. I mean, you've got access to the seaweed.
Yeah.
You've got access to, I mean, even some of these stores, I think, if I remember correctly, I've seen stuff like Biotone. That's a good all-purpose, if you will. And then soon my company will be, I'll have a dry nutrient pack here soon. I'm just trying to work out some kinks to get it here, and that's just an all-purpose dry fertilizer that you just top dress and mix it in and then water it in.
All right.
Not to mention the compost itself, the microbes.
Yeah.
The microbes, what they do is they allow the soil to unlock nutrients for the plants.
They build that bridge.
Yeah.
They build that bridge.
Right. So it's like when I'm taking my to make sure I'm balancing it with magnesium because the magnesium helps my body to absorb all those other nutrients.
Exactly what you do.
Bingo, bingo.
The soil has the same thing.
All right.
Nowhere in the world has poor soil. We just don't have the things to unlock it.
I got you. The same way that there are no stupid children or stupid questions. It's just adults that don't have the wisdom to see their brilliance. Okay. Somebody texted in and said, can we grow cocoa in the Bahamas? I think they mean chocolate, and I think the answer is yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's growing in Andres.
Absolutely, you can.
Yeah. Okay, so extracting value from the land. Eleuthera red soil and pineapples, right? Mm-hmm. Can you make that soil? Can you reproduce that?
I can, but it won't be red. It doesn't have to be red. It's only red because of the land composition.
I got you.
You know, the nutrients isn't what makes it red. It's
so I could stop teeth and soil from Eleuthera, which is
I mean, you just have to add the right ingredients. You know, I mean, I would assume, I haven't done any research on pineapples specific, but I would assume that it would need a little bit more phosphorus and potassium. So, I mean, you just find raw ingredients that have higher, and you just add them in there.
All right. And so I was going to ask about cascarilla, because what we found is that people have tried to extract the value of cascarilla from the Bahamas and haven't been able to because it's something about the hardiness, the roughness of the land that it grows in here that gives it that value.
It gives you the it gives the plant the vigor. So certain plants, they just flourish in an environment where they have to work for their nutrients.
Now, with soil science, one of the issues with cascarilla has been the inability or the lack of capacity for sustainable commercial cultivation and harvesting.
It drains the land. That's what it does. The plant pulls the nutrients out. If we don't complete that loop,
right,
then the link is missing. So you pull that link out, and now right. the soil is just
so,
left hanging.
So yeah. people haven't been cultivating castor oil. They've been sort of
You've just been harvesting. That's
just right. harvest.
But soil scientists can now turn this castor oil traditional subsistence farming into
a
commercial.
I can take the waste from the castor waste that they have
and put it back
and return
in.
Return it to the land.
It's all about completing the cycle.
It's completing that. You
just
have to complete that. You have to close that loop.
Okay. We get 7 minutes. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And your guest?
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed this. All of the Caribbean islands that have good soil have mountains. They can grow cocoa beans, coffee beans.
We have good soil. That's like you saying good hill.
Different plants go at different altitudes.
Yeah.
Right. Altitude and environment plays a role, but you've got to remember, plants need three things: water, sunlight, and nutrients.
And they have it everywhere.
That's it. The environment, you can mimic. You can change that. That's like me and you. If I send you to Andres, you still can survive.
Mm-hmm.
If I send you to Alaska, you may not survive at the quality that you want to because it's cold, but you can survive. So it's the exact same thing. You have food, you have water, and you can have warmth. Yeah. If I put you there, I give you a fire, a nice warm house, you would be completely fine.
Because I always heard that Jamaica grow, we can grow, but it's growing here.
Yeah, no, they can tell you that.
Listen,
they can tell you that because that brings them value.
That was the industry. That's the local industry's best marketing strategy. They partner with the Ministry of Tourism for that.
I'm talking about the government house, right?
Yeah.
And
you would listen. Cut him because he about
wall,
to.
Right?
Yeah. Don't cut him. I thought you was about to tell me you saw a plant on Government House lot. That's why I cut you. Government House don't need no more stress. None whatsoever. Also, if you did see that plant, I didn't put it there. Okay, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. So, I know you want to say something. Does altering the soil or enriching the soil result in me having a GMO plant?
No, absolutely. No.
All right,
GMO says what it is, genetically modified.
Right, you're not
changing anything genetically
for the plant.
You're
just feeding it.
Yeah.
And then GMO isn't, you got to remember, GMO has a bad name, but it's really not. I mean, it's the name, how you genetically modify and what comes of that modification is what matters. Like I said, that's a rabbit hole I go down.
See, I know, changing it in a lab is different from hundreds of years or decades of modification.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but if you hear how my grammy used to talk bad to them plants and tell it, grow before I put the switch on you, that's rough for the plant too,
yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah, anyone. That's rough for anyone.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nicholas.
I was going to give an example for the call. A lot of people said that you can't grow tobacco here because it's a high altitude plant, but we grow into a different thing.
In fact, I used to sell a lovely tobacco and passion fruit tobacco blend at festivals.
Mm.
Yeah, it's possible.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's possible.
That sounds good. Passion fruit and tobacco.
Okay.
It's compost.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen. So, careers for soil scientists. Even farming, because, I mean, there are lots of different careers. I know you could be a soil scientist, but you could be working here, there, everywhere. So careers in traditional farming and then careers outside of traditional farming.
So you have?
Well, right now I'm working at the landfill as an environmental sampler. So we go around, we just make sure that there's no, hazardous things leaking into the soil, into the well water. So that's one of the careers.
Like Miss Johnson, if you see me by your mango tree, I am sampling the soil. I am not deep in my house. Thank you. I like that one.
Yeah, and then obviously like me, like I own a soil company, so I literally manufacture the soil. Just like you go and buy Miracle-Gro from the store.
You make that.
I make something that's Miracle-Gro on steroids.
Hold on, wait, but
It's organic.
Yeah.
And it's organic. And like I said, I hate to talk about the competition.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's little. That's why they sell you so many different products, or flour, rose feed, and this, that, and the next. That's because they need multiple products to sell you.
Right.
There's no need for multiple products. You consolidate your product,
mm-hmm.
produce a quality product to begin with, and then the end consumer now has that product for years to come.
Absolutely. Okay. I was thinking lawn maintenance, and in the land of hotels, golf course.
Absolutely.
Maintenance, yep. And like even tennis sports, grass tennis courts, tennis football courts. Fields, mm-hmm. anything that's not AstroTurf or
absolutely
requires absolutely. Soil.
There's so many. I mean, you can create your own, you know, right. you can create your own job description if you will. Yeah. You're in control of your destiny.
Absolutely.
Even as a permaculture designer, which we could get into, it's just understanding your natural environment, the things you have at your disposal to create the environment that you want.
Right, because I was reading up on it, and I always thought of permaculture as, okay, I'm gonna create a farm where all the different plants that love each other and work with each other grow together. Yeah. But permaculture is larger than that.
Way larger.
And permaculture is creating a building. So I have access to, like, maybe I'll teef it. I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about a career choice.
Go ahead.
But sorry. A property with silk cotton trees on it, right? And I want to, because you can't tear them down, so I'm thinking, how can I build a house around the silk cotton? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, how could I turn that into Airbnb food, small food forest
in there.
House for tourists?
I live on 10 acres. I own 10 acres in Oklahoma, and I live in a tiny home.
Yeah.
It's just a reefer trailer, a 48-foot reefer trailer that I converted to a home. Literally a semi-trailer.
Yeah.
Because
when you said reef, I was like, hold on.
Not that reef. Not that reef. You're
already making things with hempcrete?
But I deal with dyes, grow dyes and stuff too. I run a commercial grow, and I'm about to own a commercial grower's license up there too.
Wow. I'm just thinking with the burgeoning legislation mm-hmm. and this burgeoning industry, mm-hmm. one of the things that we could do is we could say, hey, we may not have the type of ownership we want over this industry, but perhaps we could mandate participation at different
absolutely.
Levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You've got to have influence. Local soil scientists if you're growing.
Like I said on the radio station, politicians have a job because of us.
Yeah.
The power is to the people, not them. They have the power.
Yeah, yeah.
But we give them that power because we are the people. Yeah. We need them to govern us. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Not saying they're, you know, redundant. They don't need to be there. We need politicians.
Yeah.
That's not saying we don't need them. But us as a people, we give them that power. So why can't we demand? Why can't we put in place? Why can't we learn these things that we need to know to make sure that we are okay at the end of the day?
And more importantly, the things we need to be able to take care of our Maslow's hierarchy of needs, mm-hmm. food and shelter. And dear young people, that's why you need algebra and Pythagoras' theorem. Otherwise, you'll be spending mm-hmm. money on $4,000 furniture markups mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. you could figure out a right angle and make a bed for yourself.
Exactly.
Figure out soil
exactly.
composition and grow
your food
for yourself.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. 100%. We are all out of time. I am so sorry. Producer, play one of those songs off the list. I prefer Stay in the Bush by Mustangs or I'll Call You in the VIPs in the Bush or Bush Medicine by Ed Moxie. Or, no, play Ronnie and the Ramblers, Peanut Vendor in Spanish. Dear audience, as we close the show, I was looking for songs to do with the land and extracting value from the land. And in our music, you can still hear that people understood the value mm-hmm. of the land, even if it was just the bush. So whatever the producer plays, it's going to be Bahamian.
Yeah,
and
man. You can follow along, man. Follow along on my journey at the soil on any social media platform.
And the Compost King, D.A. Compost King on Instagram. Nicholas Fox on Facebook.
Yeah, right. Environmental Soil Solutions on Facebook. Just follow along. If you have any questions, shoot me questions. When I have most of the time, I can just answer those questions.
All right. Can people contact me for your contact information?
Absolutely.
These are young people. They don't give out their information on the radios like us old people just do. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And let's remember growing with a purpose with the Soil Guru, August 27th, opposite Gladstone Road Farmers Market.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.